Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the next 2 weeks we're going to be looking at the Gospel of Mark. And the first half of the Gospel of Mark is much different than the second half of the Gospel of Mark. The first half of the Gospel of Mark has some rather tough scenes for us to interpret. And I would say that they teach us that following Jesus is not always easy. Following Jesus is actually oftentimes hard, really hard. If you look at the first scene of the Gospel of Mark chapter 6, Jesus goes to his hometown, he goes to his church, he preaches, and everybody rejects him. They pretty much say, isn't this the carpenter's son? How does he have authority to talk like this? And actually in a different Gospel, they take him outside and try to kill him. His own town, the kids he grew up with, their parents, they try to kill him. They reject him. The next scene in chapter 6 of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus pulls his 12 disciples together and he sends them out two by two to proclaim the gospel to the surrounding villages. But Jesus tells them, you can't take anything except a belt around your waist and one pair of sandals. No gold, no silver, no coins, no food. You must completely rely on people who will believe your message and they will provide. So in essence, Jesus calls his 12 disciples to follow his life of poverty in order to be a disciple. And then we get to today's lesson. John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, is seized by Herod. Not Herod the Great who tried to kill Jesus, but his son. Herod, and this Herod is crazy. And he doesn't like John because John was condemning Herod for his adultery. Because Herod took his brother Philip's wife, Herodias. And so Herod was being condemned by John the Baptist. So he seizes him, throws him in jail, and one night he throws a big party, King Herod does, for all his important men. And Herodias' daughter comes and dances and thrills the guys. And then he offers, King Herod does, anything to this girl. And she goes to her mother. What should I ask for? And she says, John the Baptist's head. Gruesome story. And so he sends an executioner and they bring John the Baptist's head on a platter. This is Jesus' cousin. He is John the Baptist, the one who prepared the way, and his end comes by being beheaded by a wicked king. And so these passages cause us to pause today. We can read these passages and wonder what kind of life is a life that follows Jesus. Is it really worth it? I mean, do I need to be rejected by my hometown, by my family and friends in order to be a disciple of Jesus or to follow Jesus? Do I need to seek a life of poverty if I'm going to follow Jesus? Or do I need to be martyred? Do I need to seek martyrdom, like John the Baptist was martyred, in order to truly give my life to Jesus? Well, it's first important to point out that just because the Bible describes something does not mean that it prescribes something. In other words, it's important to discern the descriptive from the prescriptive understanding of how to interpret God's word or to apply it to God's word. Case in point, my first trip to India, I would take a passage like this, where Jesus sends a 12 out two by two with nothing, and then I would walk in the streets of India and see mass poverty. If you've been to Mexico, you've seen poverty, but you haven't seen it yet like in India. It's just magnified times 10 or 1,000. Millions of people living on the street with nothing, and it made me nauseous. And it made me feel guilty of being an American, even a Christian. I remember talking to Dr. Raj, my Indian professor, saying, is God calling me to sell everything and move to India and walk on the streets and live a life of poverty? And Dr. Raj responded, Mark, just because you see intense poverty does not mean that God is calling you to seek poverty or any kind of suffering. And then he said this, you don't have to seek suffering. It will seek you out if God wants it to. So just because other people suffer, because the Bible describes the scene of suffering, does not mean that God is calling you to seek any kind of suffering or poverty. But the Bible does prescribe certain things on our possessions. It does command and prescribe that we give all glory and honor for everything we own to God alone. He gives us everything, and everything we will have will come from His hands. We should thank and praise Him for everything we own, and we should use our possessions to help other people and to glorify God's name. Whether that's putting a check in the offering plates or helping a neighbor or a friend who is in need with the money, the food, or the resources that God has given to us. That is not descriptive. That's prescriptive and commanded. Or I think of another analogy. I think of the pastor who on Pentecost Sunday a few years ago, he took a passage from Mark which talked about the ability to be bitten by a viper's snake and still live. He took that passage and he thought it was prescriptive or sort of commanded. And so on Pentecost Sunday, he took his congregation, including his family, to a zoo and asked to handle viper's snakes. It didn't end well. He was bitten and he died in front of his congregation and his family. Just because a passage talks about something does not mean it prescribes something or commands something. And so when we read these three scenes today in the Gospel of Mark chapter 6, just because Jesus was rejected by his own family, his own relatives, his own town, does not mean he's calling you to go seek out to be rejected. It doesn't mean to go out and be coarse with people and think that just because you're being rejected, you're following God's command to be rejected. Just because he sent his disciples out two by two does not mean he's calling you to sell everything and walk in the streets. He's not calling you to seek out poverty. And just because Jesus allowed John to be beheaded by a crazy and wicked king does not mean he's calling you to be beheaded or to seek out being martyred for your faith in Jesus. But I do think the takeaway from these three texts is simply this. Sometimes following Jesus is not easy. In fact, oftentimes following Jesus is hard. Really hard. Jesus did say, in this world you will have many sorrows. That's not descriptive. That's a promise from the mouth of Jesus. And it's a promise not because Jesus wants you to suffer or desires you to have sorrows. It's a promise because Jesus knows the result of our sinful flesh and our sinful fallen world on this side of heaven. He knows it's going to, by nature, have sorrow. Jesus also does say that anyone who would want to be his disciple must pick up his cross and follow him. We must lose our life for his sake. And these are not descriptive words, they're prescriptive commands from Jesus. Jesus promises that anyone who follows him will bear a cross. So sometimes, yes, you will be rejected. You will be made fun of, whether by friends, family, or foes. Sometimes we will have struggles in this life in spite of following Jesus, whether health struggles or sorrows, economic ones, or relationship struggles. Perhaps you have a fight with a family member or a friend over a certain way of life. And there are Christians on this planet still today who are killed, martyred, for believing in Jesus. That does happen. And take away those three things. Just being faithful and following Jesus is not easy. Following Jesus, instead of the latest cultural trends or our own sinful desires, is hard. Living a life according to God's word, honoring God with my thoughts, my words, and my deeds is hard. Being faithful in setting a schedule to read my Bible, God's word, and to pray to a God and a Father who is always faithful is not easy. Being faithful in attending worship each weekend, where Jesus is faithful and always showing up in his word and sacraments, because he promised, is hard, especially nowadays where the culture is trying to pull you every which way. being faithful, no matter how good the pastor's sermon is, isn't always easy. Putting aside a portion of our income and being thankful and trying to help people in need and supporting God's work when you have all these other lists of things you could do is hard. Trusting in Jesus to provide everything you have and will have, knowing that He will always give you His time perfectly and all of His listening power and all of His presence, and trusting that is hard. Not because there's anything wrong with Jesus. He's perfect. But because there's something wrong with you and me. We're not perfect. We're not faithful always. Following Jesus is not always easy. It's actually really tough because He is perfect and we're not. And there is sin in the world, and it's in your body and it's in your mind and it's all around. There's a reason why the prophet Isaiah once wrote, "We all are like sheep." Sheep, the dumbest animal in the world. We're all like sheep who have gone astray. Each of us have gone our own way. But the good news about being called a sheep, something that's rather dumb, is there's always a shepherd where there's a sheep. And that gets back to the fact that the good news is we're not the ones leading. Jesus is the one leading, and He is the shepherd. And He's not just any shepherd, He is the good shepherd. And so when we stray, the good shepherd, even if one of us strays from a fold of 100, He will go after us and bring us back to us. He will forgive us our sins. He will feed us what we need. He will strengthen us with what we need to keep walking behind Him. And we keep our eyes focused on Him, good things tend to happen. The good news is that Jesus is leading the way, not us, and not just anybody, but it's Jesus. Jesus is the one leading. We are the ones following. And so when you put that in context and make that the starting point, and then run that idea or that truth through the first three scenes, it goes something like this. If God ever does call you to be rejected, if Jesus allows you to be rejected by even your family and your friends for His name's sake, remember this, Jesus will not reject you. In fact, He will speak on your behalf to His Heavenly Father. And consider this, when Jesus was rejected by His hometown, why was He rejected? Not for His politics. Why was Jesus rejected? Because he said that He came to fulfill the Word of God. He said He came to forgive sins and raise dead people for eternal life. That's why He was rejected. And the people said, "Isn't this the carpenter's son? He can't do it." He was rejected, in other words, to give you eternal life. The forgiveness of your sins and the resurrection of your body. That's an amazing thing. If Jesus were actually to call you to a life of poverty for His sake, Jesus has already given you the kingdom, His kingdom, the fullness of it. It's all yours. You don't have to save up a penny for this type of retirement. The whole kingdom is yours. You'll have the best fishing. I don't know if there'll be fishing. You'll have the best everything you can think of. The best food, the best experiences. And consider this. When Jesus did call the disciples to follow His life of poverty, consider what the result was. When they went to these villages, He gave them the power to heal sicknesses. He gave them power to cast out demons. He gave them power over Satan and hell. They had no money. They had no food. All they had was a belt and sandals, and they changed the whole region. In fact, that's how we get to the third story. The disciples made such a splash up in Galilee and Capernaum, up in Nazareth, by preaching the good news and healing people and having power over sickness. They made such a splash that the word got back to Herod. And Herod thought the man he beheaded had been raised from the dead. And Herod, who had all power and authority up in that region, up in Galilee, he became scared. He was shaking in his boots. If Jesus were to actually call you to lay down your life for his sake, remember this, that Jesus laid his life down for you so you could live forever. No matter what happens to your body in this life or where it happens, Jesus has already conquered your death. You will live forever. Jesus promised, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it and will save it for eternity. Yes, John was killed for giving witness to the Word of God and to Jesus as his Savior. But Jesus gave witness concerning John. Jesus, after John was killed, told a group of people that this is the greatest human being ever to be born. And not that that really mattered. Jesus was rejected. Jesus lived a life of poverty. Jesus suffered. Jesus was tortured. And Jesus died for John. And for you and for me. So that when we follow Jesus, we know it ends up well. Jesus came out alive, resurrected, perfect body. So while we may bear a cross in this life, it's important to remember, he bore the greatest cross of all. He bore our sin and our punishment. And he came out alive showing us our destiny, our eternal destiny. A perfect resurrected body, and no other philosophy or religion has that truth. And he did it all for you. Not just so we could empathize with your sufferings. Oh, I know what you're going through. That's true, but that's not the gospel. He did it so we could conquer your suffering, conquer your sorrows, conquer your sin, conquer your death. Yes, following Jesus is not always easy. It is hard. Often really hard. And just because you follow Jesus, just because he's your Savior, does not mean your life will be healthy, wealthy, wise, and happy all the time. When sorrow takes hold of your life, it's not because you don't believe enough. You don't need to believe harder or stronger. Walking through sorrow in this world is not about you. If it's about you, you're going to fail. It's about Jesus. Jesus doesn't fail. Jesus is strong enough to walk through sorrow and suffering. And Jesus is strong enough to lead you through any sorrow or suffering that you will walk through. Keep following Jesus. Jesus always leads to life. Always. Eternal life. Don't follow the world, the devil, or our sinful natures. If we do, they all lead to one common destination. Hell, a real place, eternal death. Jesus leads to life, a real place, eternal life. So keep walking. Let Jesus lead. That's what he's here for. He's the good shepherd, you and I are not. It's not always easy. Oftentimes it's hard. But Jesus knows where he's going. And you know where he's going now. In this world, you will have many troubles, Jesus promised. But he finished that sentence with great, great comfort just before he went and took the cross. He said this, take heart, I have overcome the world. In Jesus' name, amen.